Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
For some, starting a family isn't easy. You met your person, you made some commitments, and now comes the fun part, right? Well, not always. Sometimes growing your family takes a little extra science, support, and a whole lot of success. You'll find that science, support, and success at RMA Fertility Centers.
For over 20 years, RMA's innovative research, state-of-the-art fertility centers, and dedicated fertility specialists have helped bring more than 50,000 babies to loving homes across the U.S. and around the world.
With success rates above the national average, RMA is a destination for fertility care, and they're opening an office right in your backyard. RMA Jersey City is coming this fall, 2022.
So go ahead, make an appointment today at rmanetwork.com.
That's rmanetwork.com.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your 2-nap-a-day taking, creepy YouTube video watching. Speaking of YouTube, I had a dream that a YouTuber I watched turned into a pine tree friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, your I'm obsessed with inventing Anna on Netflix. I learned how to properly milk an eggplant before roasting. I just finished reading The Guest List by Lucy Folly, and it's a book that held me captive, and I can't stop thinking about it, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
This week, I'm talking about inflation for dummy millennials.
I think, and there's probably, you know, Gen Zers in there too who don't understand inflation.
Of course, yes. Millennials and Gen Zers are dealing with inflation for the first time in their lives. And me, the dummy, I went in and sort of did a deep dive into what inflation means for people in those generations and what we can do to combat it.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I noticed, I think I talked about it last week. I noticed that my groceries last week cost $450.
Yeah.
And I live alone.
Yeah. And you don't cook. So it's a shame that that's all going to go to waste.
And a huge part of it is like living in New York City and everything costs so much. But it's still, the inflation is noticeable. So I'm glad you're covering that.
And what's on your plate this week, Bethany?
I am talking about how I think a lot of people feel right now, which is we've been mostly staying at home for the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And I know there are a lot of people who are going crazy, but there are also a lot of people like me who are maybe a little too comfortable not leaving their house. And I'm just going to talk about it. I'm not doing any like hard hitting research on it. I'm just sort of going through what it's like and why it might be a problem and maybe things we can do about it.
That is such a good topic. I'm excited to touch upon that.
So Kathleen, you have an evil grin that you started recording today with. Yes. What is that? You said, I will tell you in due time. So is it due time yet?
Bethany, you and I have sort of been having these conversations about how, you know, content creators, they change and grow over time.
Yeah.
You and I have changed and we've grown over time. We're different people from when this podcast first started. So since you and I have changed over time, I figured that maybe we could interview, I don't know, each other for the jobs that we have again.
Okay.
And you know how when you're on an interview, you try to answer what you want the other person to hear.
Yeah, like what they want to hear?
Yeah. What they want to hear. So if the interviewer is sitting in front of you, like you've done a little bit of research on them and you kind of know what they want to come out of your mouth, but even though it's not true to yourself, right?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So like maybe perhaps this is one of those situations.
Okay, so I should answer the questions with answers that you would probably give to these questions.
Mm-hmm. And then when you interview me back for the jobs that we already have, I will do the same.
Okay. Okay. All right, so I'm going to answer these questions as though I'm Kathleen.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Okay. All right. Cool. All right.
Question number one. Since you are never home, where do you spend most of your time on the weekends?
It's taking every ounce of strength to not say, I just am staying home.
Nope, nope.
I, like me. Kathleen, I am out with my friends, probably hiking outside.
Wow. Oh, my God. Bethany, you and I have so much in common.
Oh, God. That sounds awful. Okay.
Okay. Second question. So you can keep your job.
Okay.
Why is chartreuse your favorite color? And what is your favorite part about having a colorful home and wardrobe?
Oh, no, no, no. Oh, no. Chartreuse is like that limey green, right?
Yeah. Yeah, sure is.
Oh, man. I love chartreuse.
Gotta keep your job. Gotta keep your job.
I love chartreuse. Because my eyes are literally watering. I like that it looks like the outside and nature, which I love being in.
Yeah, yeah, because you love nature.
And the best and the best part of having a colorful wardrobe.
Uh-huh, yeah. And home. Is, and home. And don't forget your home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Colorful wardrobe and home. Mm-hmm. Is that because the colors make me feel happy. Especially when I wear, when I put them on my body.
Oh,
and good. And I have to see them when I look in the mirror every day.
Excellent answer. Excellent answer. You're a qualified candidate. Okay. Next question. You ready?
Yep.
What's your favorite thing to cook?
You bitch. Okay. Kathleen.
Yeah.
My favorite thing to cook is a delicious rattan omelet with
a rattan
sous vide eggs with a side of baking sprouts deviled in a ham glaze partially rotunded in a pile of Retended. Asphyxiated greens.
Oh, okay. Wow. You know what? I think I had that at 11 Madison Park the other day. What
so expensive.
Such a good dish, Bethany. You know what? You must be a really good cook.
Thanks. I know everything about it.
Okay. Got two more for you.
Okay. This is so fun.
What will you name your children when you have them?
Oh, yay. Having a family is something I'm really looking forward to.
I know.
And in no way value my own time and money. My children, when I have them, I will name them good, normal names.
Okay.
And nothing eccentric. Nothing. So I'll name them Karen.
Okay.
And Matt.
I can't wait until you're actively trying to conceive. That's going to be such an exciting time for both of us.
Okay. Me too.
Last question so you can keep your job.
Great.
I just would like to touch upon the fact that time management is not your greatest strength. And so I know you have a tough time, like, showing up to meetings when you're supposed to be there and holding up your end of the bargain in terms of business responsibilities.
Sure.
What are you going to do to combat that and improve upon your time management issues in the future?
Well, Kathleen, if I'm going to work on my time management issues, I'm going to set alarms on my phone.
Oof.
For the different times of day that things need to get done so that they go off and I see the alarm that is renamed to like research and then a portion that says like, you know, social media and then a portion that's like, you know, lunch, time to eat lunch, don't forget. And then one that goes off every day that says, take a shower.
Bethany, I'm so proud of you.
And then one that for sure says, don't forget to wash your hair or take a shower.
Yeah.
Sometimes, Kathleen, I forget to shower for days.
I know. You know, when I'm showering, you will often text me, please shower for the both of us. And I'm so happy
that, yes.
to hear these strategies coming out of your mouth. And I'm only 85% confident that you'll be able to follow through.
Well, you know what, Kathleen? I am going to try my hardest.
Okay. Yes.
With time management and showering. Well, okay. So can I, so Kathleen, you, your job is just hanging in the balance.
Yes, I know.
And you have to answer these questions in a way that I find pleasing.
Okay.
For you to keep your job.
Okay. So I got to keep my job. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Good. Okay.
Kathleen.
Uh-huh.
With very few exceptions,
mm-hmm.
what would you say is the only color that should be in your wardrobe?
Okay, Bethany, I don't like color. Black is the only color that I like to wear because it is a combination of all of the colors at once. And I don't really incorporate any other color in my design or in my home other than blacks. Sometimes I'll throw in a deep burgundy or violet.
Ooh, getting feisty.
For a little bit of dimension, because those colors offer so much dimension. And
but they're a little bit too much, wouldn't you say? Black is really the best color. Wouldn't you say, Kathleen?
Black is the best color. Okay,
great.
Next question, please.
Great. Yeah. Kathleen, when you have been awake for about 2 hours, what do you think you should do after that 2 hours?
You know, Bethany, a lot of people would say 2 hours is not that long to be awake, and you should use that time early in your day to be productive. Mm. But me, I like to nap. So if I get up at 5:30 in the morning, my first nap usually comes around 7:30 or 8.
Wow.
And yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We have so much in common.
So much.
Love to nap after two hours too.
Yeah. I love early bedtimes too. Love early bedtimes.
Mm-hmm. Now, Kathleen, you know, this company is all about team building.
Yes.
And a lot of companies like to camp. As team building.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. How many days would you say the ideal camping trip lasts? Why is your eye twitching?
The ideal camping trip, Bethany, is never camping in the first place.
I am so pleased to hear this. Can you expound on that a little bit?
I hate nature and it doesn't at all bring me joy. I am allergic to sunshine. My Nordic heritage doesn't allow me to go out in the sun that often without severe repercussions. And camping would not be my first choice or idea for team building exercises. I think something like a horror movie film fest or a safe conversation circle about how much we like the color black would be a better, that would be a better option for me.
Yeah. Are you crying? There's like a single tear rolling down your face right now, and I can't imagine why.
Happy tears, because I'm just thinking about going to the cat cafe later. Yes, yes.
Okay, two more questions. Kathleen, what should one do with any piece of technology that only works via app?
Well, you know, it's funny that you ask that, Bethany, because I think that the robots are coming to get us.
Yes, they sure are.
And I don't have any faith in their abilities to make our lives easier or better. And I think one day that they will probably grow teeth and eat us. And technology involving apps is not my thing. I am more of a at-home purist, and I like to use my hands for a good hard day's work instead of asking certain. There's a girl named Alexa, and I hear that she can do lots of wonderful things for people and make their lives a lot easier.
You've heard that?
I've heard that, but that is not for me.
No, because she will gain
power,
self-awareness, yes, and power. And so the correct answer, you're right, is not trusted and throw it in the garbage. I also would have accepted set it on fire. Lastly, Kathleen.
Yes.
When is the best time to throw a party?
Much like that camping debacle that we just tackled, the best time to throw a party is Never throw a party.
Mm-mm. Kathleen, we are so similar. I am so happy to say you've kept your job here at an Acquired Taste podcast. Why is your head on the table?
Bethany, I'm so happy that we've both agreed that we can both keep our jobs, but I really feel like a Democrat interviewing for a job at Fox News right now.
It is 2022. It is time to leave behind things that don't serve you, like a husband or a family or overdraft fees.
And when your checking account balance is running low, the last thing you need is an overdraft fee.
Ugh, they're the worst. When you're like, wait, why is $35 suddenly missing from my account? Oh, that's right. I messed up earlier in the month and now I have an overdraft fee.
I mean, like last month I had this emergency where I absolutely had to buy 6 brass doorknobs to put in my new home.
That's not an emergency.
And I overdrafted and there was a fee.
Yeah, well, that one you deserved because that wasn't. Anyway, with Chime, an award-winning app and debit card, you can save that hard-earned paper without paying overdraft fees.
Eligible members can overdraft up to $200 on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals with absolutely no overdraft fees.
So if you're Kathleen and you have a brass doorknob emergency, with Chime, you will most likely be just fine.
Make your first good decision in 2022 and join over 10 million people using Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/taste. That's chime.com/taste.
Banking services provided by and debit card issued by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA. Member FDIC. Eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Overdraft only applies to debit card purchases and cash withdrawals. Limits start at $20 and may be increased up to $200 by Chime. See chime.com/spotme.
Bethany, I'm here today to give everybody a lesson in inflation for dummies.
Yay!
Also, inflation for millennials.
All right, cool.
I just want to sort of like set a precursor that I got a D in macroeconomics. And right before my micro econ test, because I was like, oh, you know, a D in macro surely leads to taking micro.
Sure.
Neil and I stayed up all night studying in the Rutgers library the night before my big first micro test. Oof. And I fell asleep in the middle of the test and then I dropped out of the class.
Wow. Okay. So, and I never took macro or microeconomics. Yeah. And I probably couldn't even tell you what those things are.
Macro means big. Yeah. Micro means small.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
Let's talk about inflation. Inflation is the rise in the cost of living, right?
Yes.
So I paid $45 for a freaking tank of gas this weekend, Bethany. I don't drive a Hummer. I drive a Honda.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Never, ever in my life have I paid attention to the rise in prices. And I'm not alone in this. There's a reason why you and I, millennials, Gen Zers, we don't really pay attention to the rising cost of things. And we'll get into that. But I know you don't drive, but is that not insane, $45?
That feels insane. And it is like, I also don't pay a ton of attention because these things that I'm buying are things that I have to buy, like food.
Yeah.
You know, gas. Yes. You need gas. So it's like, I'm not going to not buy gas because I don't like how much it costs. It just is what it is.
When things cost more, we have less purchasing power. And when there's a shortage of certain goods, more people want them than what's available. So the price goes up. You know, that's inflation. But the economy is not so cut and dry. And what we are facing right now in the economy is the existence of two extremes.
Okay.
For the first time kind of ever. And there's a really great podcast called The Ezra Klein Show. And he discusses all of this on his February 8th episode, which I'll link in the show notes. He talks about how the economy has grown immensely in the last year. Low wage workers have better pay, but also inflation is crazy high. So you see where those two extremes are coming into play. Like wages have gone up, but also inflation is insane.
Okay.
And the pandemic has really thrown everything into a tailspin. Economic extremes are existing together. There's no one source to blame because everything that's happened since the beginning of the pandemic in 2020, it's unprecedented. And I know that word is totally overused.
But it is unprecedented. It's an unprecedented need to use the word unprecedented more than we've ever used it before.
And the tug and pull tale of economy and politics, that's an age old tale. A tale as old as time, as one might say, Bethany, sure. If we're looking at it in Disney terms.
True as it can be.
Some people are like, let's blame the stimulus package and extended unemployment because that put money in people's pockets and therefore they were buying more goods. But then there weren't enough goods to keep up with the demands, you see?
Yes.
And then some people are like, corporate America. It's too big. Listen, I'm just a simple-minded girl from a small town in New Jersey with big city dreams. Okay?
Okay.
Here's my take. I saw both sides of the struggle. I saw friends who were freelancers who couldn't get jobs.
Yeah.
During the pandemic, right? And so they genuinely needed that help from the government. Like, they needed the CARES Act.
For sure. Like, saved lives.
Yes. On the other hand, like, I also have friends who are small business owners who couldn't find workers. And that's not something I'm here to debate today. Today, the goal of this conversation is to discuss the inflation that we are all facing. And what does it exactly mean? And how is it affecting our everyday lives? So, good things happened in 2021. Inflation was up, but also it's worth mentioning that poverty rates fell. Interest rates in terms of buying homes, they fell. And I benefited from that.
Okay. Yeah. You bought a home.
I bought a home at an interest rate much lower than I ever thought I would be qualified for. There was a small business boom in 2021.
That's surprising.
I know.
Because it seems like everything shut down.
And people quitting their job, the great resignation, was insane. People quit their jobs at a rate that no one ever could have predicted. In November of 2021, 4.5 million people quit their jobs.
Whoa, I didn't realize it was that high. That's a lot of people giving middle fingers.
And I don't blame them because job openings were at an all-time high. There was something like 11 million job openings posted in the same month in November of 2021. Jeez. And so when there are that many jobs open, but so few employees to fill them, it's great for employees because then you have leverage. You can work from home, which people decided that they liked during the pandemic. And you can bargain for higher wages. And especially low-income workers, they had better hours and better pay, which is good.
Yeah. And if you can't get better pay, get more vacation time to also spend at home.
There's all sorts of leverage that people looking for jobs had before that they didn't. On the flip side, inflation right now is at a four-decade high.
Oh, gosh.
Too much money, chasing too few goods. That's the definition of inflation. But there are other things that exacerbate the issue for us right now. The things that people spend their money on are different because of the pandemic. Once upon a time, when people would have been spending their flux of cash on things like experiences, concerts, plays, vacation, the pandemic has twisted it all because people are now spending so much more percentage of their cash on physical goods.
Because we can't go to experiences.
Exactly. Mm. Because everybody's home because of the pandemic, which is kind of has economists scratching their heads like this is nothing that anybody could have predicted.
So is the massive inflation that we're seeing right now?
Yeah.
Is that because so many people are buying everything?
Yes.
Instead of that being like evenly spread over stuff, but also experiences.
Yes. That in combination with the labor shortage and supply chain issues.
Okay, gotcha.
So instead of going to a concert, maybe you're buying yourself a keyboard.
Gotcha.
And instead of going to a baseball game, you're buying yourself a bat instead.
Okay, cool. And everyone else is also buying themselves a bat.
Yeah.
So then their bats go up.
So for millennials specifically, Bethany, that's you and me. We graduated from high school and college in the late 2000s, which is right at the height of the real estate market crumbling. We entered the workforce at extremely low starting salaries because companies no longer had money, but we have never, ever, ever before experienced a consumer price index jump like we have right now.
Okay, I'm an idiot. What does the consumer price index mean?
The CPI is what's used to assess the cost of everyday living.
Okay.
So basically the cost of goods. How is the cost of everyday living affected by the raise in the cost of goods?
And it's crazy because I am watching money bleed out of my accounts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It feels like I cannot believe how much money I am spending, and I'm not buying things frivolously. It's like,
yeah,
oh, the price of your Netflix is going up this year. The price of your pet insurance is going up this year. The price of your own insurance is going up this year. Like, my Truebill app is like, oh, you're spending more this week than last week on this thing that you buy every week.
Yeah.
You're spending more this month than last month. And it's like, please, can everything just stop?
And the way that we spent money during the pandemic was totally different than how, I mean, me personally, than how I've ever spent money before. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I was buying furniture for my house when I typically wouldn't have purchased furniture because I was home all day.
Totally. And you're looking at your house and going, well, I'm dissatisfied.
Yeah. I know. Like, do you remember something specifically you started spending money on during the pandemic that you typically wouldn't have?
I mean, I started working out at home.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah.
And so I was buying arm weights. I was buying like yoga straps and resistance bands and stuff. Mm-hmm. I bought a standalone chin-up bar that reaches my ceiling and takes up my bedroom, right? So, like, I would never have bought that because I'd be able to just go to the gym and use their chin-up bar. But now I'm like, well, I got to do it at home.
And a gym membership is a good example of an experience versus actual goods that you're buying.
Okay, yep, that makes sense.
So, let's talk about gas, which is, for the first time ever, I'm now reconsidering going places that are far away, more further away than I would typically go because gas is so much. Mm. Let me tell you exactly how much gas has gone up. Since January of 2020, Bethany, gas is up 28%.
Ow, my wallet.
I know. Another thing that affects us in our everyday lives, the cost of chicken. Well, not you, but me. So
chicken.
The cost of chicken now for a pound of boneless, skinless chicken is now $3.73, Bethany. That is up 16.5% since January of 2020. Beef up 17.9% since January of 2020.
Again, I'm an idiot. That doesn't make sense to me because it's not like more people are eating chicken than before or more people are eating meat than beef than before.
Yeah.
Is it because people are cooking more because they aren't going out to eat as much?
It's because low-wage workers who work in these facilities, they have more leverage because there's a labor shortage, right? And so, therefore, the people who own the chicken companies and the beef companies, they have to pay their workers more, which is a good thing. But then they're also passing down this price increase to the consumers who are buying these things.
You know, then I'm willing to pay. If I were to eat meat, I'd be willing to pay more for it if it means that the people working there are getting more money. That's fine.
And it's a much more complicated answer than that. And there are a lot more factors that go into why are certain foods priced more. I mean, yes, also people are eating more at home. They're not going out to eat. So they're buying more of these things. Used cars, because in the beginning of the pandemic, people weren't really driving. They weren't buying used cars because they had nowhere to go.
Right.
Forget used cars. They weren't buying new cars. And also people were really scared about how the pandemic was going to affect their salaries. Bethany, I know someone who just bought a used car, wanted a new car, but couldn't wait the 15 months for the new car to be available to them. So they were like, okay, let me buy a used car. The used car cost $8,000 more than it would have 2 years prior. Used cars are up 54.6%.
What is that? Is that also why I've been seeing headlines that like now is the worst time to buy a home? Is that for the same reason? Is it's like,
you know,
more people have income and so more people want the same things?
Yes. High demand, low inventory. But also the home market is its own other monster.
Okay.
For me, for example, because interest rates were so low, when you look at buying a home in terms of a monthly cost, like rent, instead of an overall cost, like the overall price of the home, when you look at it monthly, you have to factor in not only how much are you paying for the home, how much you have to put down on the home, but then you have to factor in like what is your interest rate. So when your interest rate is lower, you can afford to go higher in terms of the price of the home that you're buying. And so that is exactly what happened to Neil and I. We were able to buy a home that was more expensive because in terms of our monthly payments, it wasn't going to change all that much. Therefore, it increases the demand because everyone's like, ah, I can buy a bigger home. I can buy a nicer home than I would have imagined because my monthly payment is going to stay the same because interest rates are low. And so bidding wars are very high and there's that. Yeah.
Okay. 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 That all makes sense.
There are pros and cons to both sides. Furniture. I bitched and moaned on this podcast about how long it took for my couch to get here. Furniture since 2020 is up 23.1%.
That's a big percent.
I followed the IKEA subreddit, and people were bitching about how in January of 2022, IKEA raised a lot of their prices by a whole lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And you still have to put it together yourself.
Yeah. Right. You're screwed either way. But at the same time, wages are higher. All of this stuff is up, but people have more money in their pocket. The Ezra Klein Show said that in December of 2021, for the first time in a long time, people had more in their savings account than the balance on their credit card. So people have a cushion from higher wages, from stimulus checks, from the CARE Act. But that cushion, because of inflation, is slowly getting lower and lower and lower. So there are good, you know, it's a balance. It's not like people are totally broke, but also things are getting, you know, increasingly more expensive.
And the thing that sucks too is if your income didn't increase.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're still broke and everything is getting more expensive.
Yeah.
It's like you feel screwed.
Upwards and sideways and backwards and upside down.
Yeah. Whatever you're into.
Yeah. Like obviously this conversation is figures of Americans on whole, right? Mm-hmm. Airfare though is down 2 years. It's down 17.8%. I've started planning some travel in 2022 because I'm like, how long am I going to put my life on hold?
Yeah. And you know, if you book it now, you can get these sweet, sweet low prices.
Yeah. And forecasting inflation, what this is going to look like for us in the rest of 2022 and the beginning of 23, it is difficult to predict. The Federal Reserve, to rein prices in, is likely going to raise interest rates in March. So those of you who are putting together home buying prospects because interest rates were low, that's going to go away in March, the Fed is saying.
Everything's awful. Everything's awful.
I know, but raising interest rates at the same time, Bethany, it persuades people like you and me to sort of like change their buying and investing behavior, right? That is something that happens when interest rates go up. In terms of how we can better prepare ourselves for this in the future, there's literally no answer. It's stay informed, look at your finances closely, and that is all of the advice that I can give you.
Cancel everything.
No.
Cancel everything. Cancel it all.
A hermit.
Become a hermit.
Go off the grid.
Go off the grid. Live in a shipping container.
Yeah. And become a vegetarian.
Yep. Grow your food.
Mm-hmm.
You can cut a window in the shipping container. Now you can see outside.
You sure can. But those shipping containers are in the middle of the ocean, Bethany. We can't get to them.
We can't even get the shipping containers because the supply is too damn low. Kathleen and I were supposed to record this commercial about 10 minutes ago, but we've just been sitting on orateNewYork.com cooing into the microphone at each other going like, Oh, I love their stuff. It's so pretty.
Bethany and I love being partners with Orate because the quality and the prices of their jewelry, they are unmatched. The other day I was having dinner with a friend and I said, I want to show you this new ring I got. I got myself the quadricolor ring with the white diamonds in the yellow gold because I've outgrown my wedding ring and I still want to wear something on that finger. And I was like, you know what? I'm buying it for myself. And I showed it to her and she goes, stop. I have the same one too. She's not even married. She wears it on a different finger.
So Orate is a fine jewelry brand that is founded by women for women. They have classic pieces, statement jewelry, completely original designs. It's the jewelry you've always wanted but could never find. And because it's all real gold, you can wear it and never have to take it off.
Plus, it's ethically sourced and sustainably made. Their gold is never mined, and their gemstones and diamonds are also certified conflict-free. So everyone can shop with a sparkling conscience.
I have a couple of their pieces too. I have a little ring with a bee on it. I have little gold studs from Orate. And I'm also obsessed with their Femme gold signet ring because I love a signet ring. This is what I love too. Yes. Besides transparent pricing, Orate has now teamed up with Klarna, Swedish for shopping, to make their items even more accessible. Basically, using Klarna, you can shop now and pay over time. It's just a more flexible way to get what you want from Orate.
So for 20% off of your first Orate purchase, go to OrateNewYork.com quince.com/taste and then use the promo code TASTE.
That's 20% off with no minimum spend. And they rarely have discounts as high as 20% off. So we encourage you to shop now while it's going on. This is the best offer out there, and it's exclusively for Acquired Taste listeners. So once again, go to auratenewyork.com/taste and use the promo code TASTE to get 20% off.
That's A-U-R-A-T-E newyork.com.
Kathleen, my mother keeps texting everyone in our family pictures of her outside with her solo stove because, as you know, we got her one for Christmas and she loves it. And she and all of her friends have solo stoves, or as they call them, solos. And I'm so happy that she likes it.
Gentle listener, I'm obsessed with my solo stove. And if you're asking yourself, huh, what is a solo stove and why do these ladies love it so much? I'm here to tell you, it is a portable, gorgeously designed, smokeless fire pit. So you can use it in your backyard. You can take it to the beach for a bonfire. You can take it with you when you go camping, and you can rent it out to your family and friends for a high premium price, because that is how magical a solo stove is.
And that's how friendship works. You got to charge your friends. Also, if you're me, you keep it along with all of your emergency documents so that in case the apocalypse happens, you can grab your solo stove and all of your documents and the coffee you're going to be trading as currency, and you will then be able to run off and survive with your fingerless gloves keeping warm over your solo stove.
You know, when I have fires with my friends when we're camping and whatnot, I hate the way that my clothes smell and that my hair smells after I've been sitting around the fire. That doesn't happen when I use my solo stove, so I can just sit back, relax, and enjoy the fire without having to dodge the smoke constantly.
Yeah, it's made with premium grade 304 stainless steel, and it has a 360 degree airflow system, so it maximizes the efficiency of the fire, but it keeps the smoke shooting straight up, so you're not getting smoke in your eyes and smoke all over your clothes.
So shop now and get up to 30% off of fire pits all month long. And use the promo code TASTE at checkout to get an extra $10 off.
Plus a lifetime warranty and free 30-day returns.
Just go to solostove.com and remember, you get $10 off when you use the promo code TASTE.
I want to talk about something that I think a lot of us have been struggling with, and I don't have like any information. Like, this isn't a research topic.
Yeah.
This is, I just want to kind of talk through what's been going on lately. We've been, you know, in COVID for 2 years now, and the first, I don't know, 6 months especially, we were really told, you got to stay inside.
Yeah.
You have to learn inside and work out inside. There's no socializing. Everyone should have like a weekly FaceTime with your family because you're not going to see them.
Yeah. And there was curfews.
Yes.
Where you couldn't go outside at nighttime, even though I always broke those curfews. And I was like, I dare you, police, pull me over in my car.
Always the rule breaker. And the thing for a lot of people is that they started going crazy and they wanted to see their friends and they needed the socialization, and a lot of people's mental health deteriorated because of that.
Yeah.
But then there's this other group of people like me who didn't see a big change in their lives because they already didn't really leave their house very much, or it was kind of a relief because it meant that you had an excuse to not go out and socialize.
Yes.
And going out, being invited to things, being invited to parties, going to a concert, those for me are incredibly stress-inducing because I'm an introvert, but also because I have social anxiety. And there's like this intersection of introversion plus social anxiety, which equals you don't ever want to leave your house. Mm. And one thing I've been talking about with my therapist is, when is COVID no longer an excuse to stay home? Mm-hmm. Because it's a great excuse to stay home, and I've loved it.
It is, Bethany. And anytime I want to use COVID as an excuse to stay home and someone's like, oh, come on, it's really not that serious anymore, I look them in the eye and I go, I'm extra sensitive because I had a parent who died. Okay.
Using your dad as an excuse is, I mean, no one can fight with it.
I 100% see where you're coming from, because I too love staying home. I am never bored. Like, do you ever feel bored?
Never.
I am never bored. I'm never one of those people that's like, ugh, I have to get out of the house. Neil, he's one of those people. So he'll make up errands that he has to get done just to leave. And you get into this pattern of, I don't have to leave. Why do I have to leave? The world and the internet and the media is telling me to stay home.
Yep.
But then you start missing out on important life experiences because you've just gotten too comfortable staying at home.
Yeah. And one thing I've noticed is that it's incredibly easy for me. Days will go by and I'll realize I haven't left my house yet. But what I don't see is the slow deterioration of my mental health. And I think that that is where it's so important to have someone in your life, whether it's like a family member or a close friend or a therapist or whatever, who can sort of start to see the signs. So I was looking, I was just sort of like looking around online to see if any conversations were having, you know, happening between people about this specific issue.
Yeah.
And I found this article from whatnerd.com. And it's by Joel Lee, and it's called "I Like Staying Home Instead of Going Out. When Is That a Problem?" What's the article about?
Yeah.
And he makes some good points. Like, if you're wondering what the difference between introversion and social anxiety is, he says introversion is when you prefer to be alone, but you still have the social skills necessary to navigate social situations without undue stress. So you get your energy from being alone, but you're still able to function in groups and interact with people. Social anxiety is when you have to be alone to the point where socialization causes emotional distress and it hinders your ability to do the things you need to do as an adult.
Where on that spectrum do you think you're falling?
I am taking up all of the space where introversion and social anxiety intersects. That Venn diagram in the middle.
Yeah.
That Venn diagram is like just a circle. It's just introversion and social anxiety on top of each other, making out and having sex. And I am the baby that comes from that sex.
You know, just a listener, if you're listening to this and you're one of those people who loves going out, and even if you have to wear a mask, you're like, fuck it, I need to see people.
Yeah.
And this isn't making a whole lot of sense to you. I also ask you to have empathy for the people in your life who this does happen to. Back in December, two of my friends were having a birthday party. They're twins. And I was getting ready for the birthday party and I did my makeup and then I went to go put on clothes. And you know that panic you have when nothing feels right on your body and nothing fits?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And instead of causing myself to have a complete and utter meltdown, I said to them, I love you both, but this is the mental space I'm in right now and I don't want to spiral and I just need to stay home in my safe space right now.
Yeah.
And they were so kind to me instead of like, ugh, you're a bad friend. They were just like, we love you and we understand and you're perfect and beautiful the way you are, but you take care of you.
Oh, what wonderful friends. That's so sweet.
I don't know about you, Bethany. When I get out into nature, when I get out into the world, it's the same feeling like when you haven't had sex for a while and then you finally do and you're like, this is wonderful.
Why aren't I doing this every minute of every day?
Yeah. Why don't we do this more often? And it's that feeling when I get outside. But once you get home, because we've been so conditioned for the past 2 years to hunker down, it's like, is my home too safe of a space?
Yeah. You're right to appeal to people listening who maybe don't understand this. Because if you get all of your energy or a lot of your energy from being around people, it will seem insane that you would ever want to just sit at home. But think about how amazing you feel after you've been seeing your friends and socializing. You have all that energy and you feel great. That's how I feel when I've been alone. And so that's, you know, the big difference between introversion and extroversion. And if you're also wondering, like, what's it like to have social anxiety, it's basically being hyper aware of yourself when you're around other people. So if you're at a party, thinking to yourself, your internal monologue is constantly going, am I being weird? Am I making too much eye contact? Look away. Am I making not enough eye contact? Look back up. Do they think I hate them because I'm not making enough eye contact? Oh my God, am I drinking my drink too fast? Is there a crumb on my face? Am I being weird again? Now I'm being weird because now I'm looking at their mouth instead of their eyes. Which eye should I look at when I talk to them? Like, it's just this overwhelming panic. And then it's, I don't know what I'm going to talk about, or I'm pretending so much to be engaged in this conversation. And now I'm exhausted and I can't pretend to smile anymore. And it's,
yeah.
Kathleen, even last night, I went over to Dennis's and our friend M, our mutual friend from, And That's Why We Drink.
Yeah.
Wonderful podcast. M came over because they're in town.
Love that pod.
M is one of those friends that is, after you see them, your soul is filled.
Mm-hmm.
Like, M believes in the things that I want to do with my life.
Yeah.
More than anyone I've ever met. M is someone who I can totally be myself around. Even before they came over to Dennis's,
yeah,
my anxiety was off the charts because it was, Dennis was making fun of me. I was pacing. I was like moving the food around. I was checking outside to see if they were there, worried if they were lost. Like I was like, oh, making sure I didn't have food in my teeth. And this is like one of my best friends. And when they finally came over, Dennis said, by the way, Em, Bethany is incredibly anxious right now. And Em was like, oh my God, so am I. And we were able to talk about it. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
But if you don't have somebody that you can be super honest about your anxiety with, you're all alone in it.
Yeah.
And it's easier to stay in.
My friend was having a party this weekend and boys were not invited. So
it's a very binary party.
Yeah. It's always easier when Neil is coming anywhere with me, right? But when I have to get dressed and get myself out the door and drive to wherever I'm going and then have a good time and then drive home, it even just thinking about it is exhausting. And I was thinking, I woke up that morning thinking of ways that I was going to cancel.
Yes.
I am going to text and this is what I'm going to say. And I'm going to say, I'm really sorry. And then I decided to text, hey, I'm really excited to see you later. I can't wait to see you. What can I bring? And that was sort of like me handcuffing myself to the event. Like, you can't back out now. You already said you're excited.
Yep. You have to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I showed up late because I was like, I'm not going to be there for the full time. I told the person I'm not going to be there until such and such time, even though it starts at whatever. And during that party, I took little breaks to sit on the couch to pet the dog.
God bless a pet at a party.
Yeah.
They are such a gift.
They are like a child at a, you know, when you go to see your in-laws and you really don't like them, but God, like, thank God you have a baby because everyone can just look at the baby and talk about the baby.
Yeah. It's like, oh my gosh, if I'm at a party and they've locked the pet in a room, I am like, why have you done this to me? I will ultimately, Kathleen, I've been at parties before where they've locked the cat in the bedroom. Oh. I've let myself into the bedroom and laid on the floor and talked to the cat who's hiding under the bed and just been like, I'm going to be in here for a while with you because we're both introverts. Neither of us wants to be out there.
And agoraphobia is a word that's kind of on the tip of everybody's tongues lately because I think other people, I mean, not I think, I know other people are experiencing this. I've gotten very used to staying home and I like staying home and now I need to reintroduce myself to the real world. Like I have a friend who I consider my smartest, most even-keeled friend. And even the other day, she was like, I went to go see such and such people this weekend and it was incredibly nice to just have human interaction. And I realized that I have gotten way too used to staying at home.
Yeah. I think a lot of us, I think most of us have a learning curve ahead of us when it comes to figuring out how to reintroduce ourselves back into the wild.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. But there is a big difference between preferring to stay at home and actual agoraphobia. So agoraphobia is the fear of leaving your house. It's also the fear of enclosed spaces like movie theaters, or if you're in elevators, even if you're like in a small store, or also the fear of like open spaces like bridges, malls, parking lots, being on public transportation, if you have to leave home, leaving home alone, being in crowds, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it's legit because it can become debilitating. It can become like you don't ever actually leave your house.
Like that book, The Woman in the Window.
Have I read that book?
The Netflix movie was terrible, starring Amy Adams, or who's the other one that looks like her? Shit.
Isla Fisher?
Yeah. It was one of them.
Okay.
They starred in the Netflix. It's so awful of me, but they really truly look alike.
One of them redheads.
It's like when people get Katy Perry and Zooey Deschanel confused. Like, I don't know. One of those
I don't know.
Brunettes with bangs.
Yeah.
This woman literally can't leave her house because the second she even takes one step outside, she has a panic attack.
Yeah.
And you know, you and I are not so much talking about that today, because certainly if you have to go to the bodega, you're not hyperventilating walking around the block.
Right.
It's just like staying home is so cozy, though.
It is. But it's also, so you remember a few weeks ago I talked about how I saw that cockroach in my apartment?
Yeah.
And like whipped myself up into such a frenzy that I started crying out of fear.
Yeah.
I've killed cockroaches before and it's been fine. I don't love it, but I've done it. But in this situation, I let myself get so scared. So I can see how easily I could actually get myself to the point of being terrified to leave my house, which is why it's good to have people in my life who pull me out of my apartment. But it's like, it's so hard to want to leave your house and to reintroduce yourself into society when you've never really enjoyed it anyway.
Bethany, like, I hear you. I hear you. I love my books. I love my TV. I love my cozy couch. I love wearing pants that don't have buttons.
Yeah. Yeah. Going, like, one of the things about being out in the world that I am not missing is pouring sweat on my way to something where I have to look presentable. Like, the summer, if I don't care if it's summer or winter, by the time I get where I'm going, I'm hot and I'm sweating and my makeup is melting off my face. And it's nice to be able to just jump into a Zoom meeting and know that 5 minutes earlier I finished my makeup so it's fresh. And I also have that little filter on that touches up my appearance ever so slightly on Zoom.
Hell yeah.
It's really tough to knowingly, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example for people who don't feel this way. Like, to know that you have to go to the dentist every day.
Oh.
And it's unhealthy for you to not go to the dentist every day. When you think about, like, oh, it sounds fun to go to a party, change that to going to the dentist.
That's actually a really good example. Are you planning to try and maybe get out and do something every weekend with Dennis to sort of make this a little bit easier, this non-COVID world?
Yeah, we are starting to plan, even if they're just day trips, because we're still being pretty careful about where we go and who we see. Everyone has to be vaccinated and boosted. But yeah, we're planning like some day trips just to you know, drive somewhere, rent a car and drive somewhere. So at least we get some fresh air. I still go to Ariel every weekend, which is a long trip out to Long Island. So I'm like getting some fresh air, but that's once a week. Mm-hmm. Like, Sundays are the only days I know for sure I'm going to be going outside. Yesterday, I wouldn't have left the house if I wasn't going to Dennis's house to see M.
Yeah.
And last week there was a period of, I think, 3 days in a row where I hadn't left my house yet. And realized that when I finally did leave my house and there was so much mail. Like, I was bitching the other day about people who don't check their mail, but that person is me, I just realized, because I don't leave my house sometimes.
I think the part about not leaving my house, the way that it has most affected me, is that I'm not moving my body as much. And that makes me feel better. You know, like going for, I used to go for long walks just to walk. Yeah. And now I don't do that because you'd have to wear your mask outside. And then in the winter, when you start breathing into your mask, it's like wearing a soggy diaper on your face and all that moisture collects.
You know, and if you need glasses, your glasses are fogging up and it's just a mess.
And luckily now this Omicron variant looks like it's on its way out the door. You know, it's teetering. Its 15 minutes of fame are over. And I feel comfortable walking outside without a mask. But I think that is the part that is really going to drive me forward to getting out of the house more, just because I know it feels really good to move my body more than I do right now.
And that is the crux of it, I think, more than anything. Like, I don't need a ton of social interaction to feel okay. However, I do need physical movement to feel okay.
Yeah.
And when your desk is in your kitchen like mine is, you wake up, you go to your desk, you check your emails, you eat your breakfast, you keep checking your emails, you do your work, you eat your lunch, you keep checking your emails, you do your work, you go to bed.
Yeah.
And I've taken 25 steps the whole day.
Yes.
And that is the part where my brain is like, you suck. You need to move your body. What is going on? Why have you failed us?
You know, I keep thinking, like, you know, one of these days I'm just going to put on music and dance every day for, I don't know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just to get the blood pumping. And then I don't, because I'm like, my neighbors are working upstairs, they're working downstairs, I'm going to annoy everybody.
And I've thought that too. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm not the kind of person who puts on music and dances. Like, that's not, I watched this show on, I think, Acorn called My Life is Murder, starring yeah. Lucy Lawless from Xena, Warrior Princess. And she plays like this very sarcastic, you know, just the facts kind of retired detective. And yeah. she's very brassy. And there's one episode where the episode ends and you can tell the writers didn't know how to end the episode. They ended it by having her assistant put on music
yeah.
and Lucy Lawless and her assistant dancing. And I call bullshit because Lucy Lawless's character would not dance. And I'm like, I feel betrayed. As someone who would not put on music and just dance, I feel betrayed. That is not me, and that is certainly not Lucy Lawless, and I don't like it. And it clearly was just like, oh, what are we going to do? I don't know.
Here's the beauty in that, Bethany. If you're looking at it from the perspective of a writer, you can write your own character. You can write yourself. If you feel like you're not a dancer, you can write your character and change it into a dancer.
No.
Okay.
No.
Look at it this way. Sarah Silverman, you have turned me on to her podcast. I've been listening to her podcast nonstop.
Yeah.
There was a situation the other day where she got a voicemail where the woman was like, I have to have holiday dinner with my aunt, my uncle, and I really don't want to go. And they always ask me about God and they know I'm an atheist. And Sarah Silverman, and I feel like this applies to just getting yourself out into the world again. She said, go to holiday dinner. They are your family. Don't stay home. But instead of looking at it like a harrowing, painful experience, approach the whole situation like an anthropologic experiment. And if you are too comfortable staying in your house, go outside and approach it, your explorations or whatever you want to do when you go outside as an anthropologic experiment. Mm-hmm. Notice what people are doing. Like, think of yourself as a narrator on Nat Geographic. Like, the woman put her envelope in the mailbox mm-hmm. and then she walked briskly. You know?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there is – it's going to take some mental games. It's going to take some – you know, really working extra hard to psych yeah. yourself up to go out into the world. But like after hanging out with Em and Dennis last night, I felt amazing. And yeah. so I think it is also about being judicious yeah. about who we do give our emotional energy to.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I told you before we started recording, I didn't get home until I think midnight. I didn't get to bed until 1.
That's very late for you. That's 7 hours behind your normal bedtime.
I haven't seen a 1 a.m. since I was 20 years old. I was like, are we morning yet? What is this? But like, and I'm wrecked today. But
yeah.
Em and Dennis are worth giving that time to because it was wonderful to see them and yeah. it was a joy. And it was a reminder that not everyone is exhausting to be around.
Yeah.
I think we've all in this time, in the last 2 years, have realized that some of the people that we were seeing all the time, mm-hmm. we don't miss.
No.
So those people aren't necessarily worth your time.
Yeah.
But there are people who are, and we realize even more now how special they are.
Yeah.
So I think what I am trying to teach myself, and I think, you know, if you're listening and you're in a similar boat, I think realizing who is worth your emotional energy, who is not, and also realizing that you are worth the emotional energy of at least getting out of your house every once in a while. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we all are on this earth to try and grow and change doesn't happen when you're super comfortable. And, you know, our houses are real comfortable. So I don't know. It was just like a little mental exploration of, I think, what a lot of people are going through and what, you know, I'm trying to battle right now.
Well, I am happy to tell you, Bethany, that you are certainly worth my emotional energy.
Thank you, Kathleen. You're worth mine, too. Kathleen.
Yeah.
I love my smile.
I love your smile, too.
Here's what I don't love. I don't like the way that my mouth is the gateway to the rest of my body, i.e., I don't love that when you put toxic ingredients into your mouth, like if they're in your toothpaste, it kind of goes into the rest of your body.
Yeah. And also, I'm very self-conscious about how white my teeth are. That's why I'm always asking you questions about your teeth, because your teeth are sparkling white. And I'm so excited that we've partnered up with Lumino, because Lumino Lumino makes toothpaste, mouthwash, and whitening products that actually help your oral health instead of hurting it.
Yeah, they use ingredients that are purposeful and uncompromising. Things like sea salt, aloe, and coconut oils to clean and brighten your smile. Plus, everything they make is certified non-toxic.
You won't find any harsh bleaches, artificial dyes, or alcohol in any of Lumino's products. Everything they make is dentist-formulated, backed by over 50 studies, and proven to protect the good bacteria in your smile, also known as the microbiome.
Dennis has used Lumino. He used their white, they have a whitening pen, and he used it and he swore that his teeth looked whiter immediately.
Yes.
Does that happen for you too?
Oh, Bethany, absolutely. I've been using the whitening pen on one tooth. I don't know why. I have one tooth that is darker than the rest of my other teeth.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know if the angle of my wrist that just doesn't hit that tooth like as well as it should, but the Lumino whitening pen has been helping me feel less self-conscious about like that one coffee tooth.
That's amazing. And I love their toothpaste. I just love the way it tastes. I love how gentle it feels. And I love how my smile feels and looks, and I know you will love Lumino as much as we do too.
So get 15% off today by going to getlumino.com/taste and then use the code taste.
That's GETLUMINEUX.com/taste and use the code taste to save 15%.
Getlumino.com/taste. Did you have to take swim class in high school?
Oh my gosh, yes. Middle school and high school.
What?
Mm-hmm.
And you had to wear bathing suits and swim in front of other people?
Kathleen, it's so funny you mentioned this because I was just writing about this. I was just journaling about this. Last week. So a lot of my body image stuff comes from the fact that in middle school, we were not allowed to bring our own swimsuits.
What?
We had to wear the school's swimsuits. And the school swimsuits were sized by color. So all of the girls in my class wore red swimsuits, which were the smallest size. And everyone knew that if you had to wear the black swimsuit, you were fat. And I had to wear the black swimsuit. And to this day, it has caused major body issues. So yes, we had to swim in middle school and high school, shower and all of that stuff.
What the actual fuck, Bethany?
Yep. When you were in school, did you have to have like your weight taken and they would caliper your underarms and tell everyone how fat you were?
Yeah, sure. Yep, sure thing.
Yep.
We had a chart in third grade and it went on the wall. Me, myself, and I, how tall you are and how much you weighed went on that chart.
That's and awful.
I remember looking at the chart of the fattest boy in the class, the biggest boy.
Yeah.
And then looking at my chart and realizing that I weighed only 5 pounds less than him, which was still a good 20 pounds more than all of my friends.
Yeah.
And it was in that moment that I was like, oh, yeah, I'm one of the fat kids.
Isn't that insane? And sorry, I didn't mean to hijack your story into like this situation, but it's wild.
I was thinking about swim, like having to swim in high school because my nephew lives where I grew up and my sister-in-law was like, I'm lost in your old high school. Please give me directions to the gym. And so I'm trying to text her directions to the gym and she's like, is it by the pool? And then I started having flashbacks and I was just thinking deeply about taking swim during gym and how I cannot believe that that is something that we had to do because how long is a period? 42 minutes?
Yeah.
Something like that. So we had 10 minutes to change, 10 minutes to dry off, which I can't even believe that that is something that we had to, I had to go to class with wet hair. Like, fuck that.
Yeah.
And then you had 20 minutes of swim time. And I can't remember what bathing suit I wore because as somebody who's so self-conscious of their body and what they look like, I'm trying to remember like if I wore a t-shirt over my swimsuit. Like I cannot remember.
No, I don't remember either. Because I know in high school we were allowed to bring our own swimsuits finally, but
yeah.
Kathleen, the best gym experience I ever had as someone who was not athletic and like had stomach aches over being nervous about gym was when I was a junior in high school.
Yeah.
I made it into the jazz band.
Oh.
And the reason that was amazing was that jazz band switched off days with your gym class. So you were in gym class with all of your jazz band members.
Oh my God.
And it was well known that that was just screw around gym. We had Coach Sparger was our teacher. He was the sweetest, best man. He was like 7.5 feet tall. And he knew, like, these are musicians. They're not athletic, whatever. And so when it was time for gym, we would just F off.
Yeah. They're just going to do their best.
Who wants to play kickball? We know you're not going to do well. Yeah. And then swimming was just like, all right, go faff around while you're going swimming. Have a good time. Just don't drown each other. It was the best gym ever. And none of us cared.
It
was wonderful.
Because there was no mean, there wasn't that like one super athletic mean boy who's going to peg you in the face with that dodgeball. And gentle listeners, if you're thinking that I am being overdramatic about being pegged in the face with the dodgeball.
Nope.
Let me tell you, I played dodgeball semi-professionally. No, JK. I played it.
I went to college for dodgeball, full scholarship.
I played in a league here in Hoboken as an adult, and I got hit in the face and I had to get stitches, and it cost me $5,000.
Wait, where did you get stitches?
Right above my eye, because I was wearing my glasses and some asshole threw a ball full speed right at my face. When you're not allowed to hit people in the face in the first place, it makes you out. And obviously he wasn't doing it on purpose, but it cost me $5,000 because of dodgeball. Insanity.
Did you not have insurance? Why was it so expensive?
I did have insurance, Bethany. Our old company offered terrible insurance, and that's why it cost me so much.
Kathleen, I will stitch you up next time.
Thank you.
I used to be a professional sewer in college. I'll stitch you up. Lickety split. You know those movies where they like, you know, like John Wick, where he has to rip his shirt off and like take a slug of whiskey and then stitch his own bullet wounds up?
I know, that's badass.
I can do that. I got whiskey and I got thread.
Do you think very rich schools or very prestigious boarding schools instead of gym class, do you think there's an option where people can just go into a room full of Pelotons and do a workout that way?
I promise you there is. It's like you can choose horse riding or Peloton or like relaxation.
It's a good workout. It's timed. It fits into the period. You know, it's 25 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, whatever you choose. I think that's a great idea. All high schools should have Pelotons.
As someone who has a Peloton, Kathleen, do you know anything about what's happening with Peloton? Like why they are doing really poorly all of a sudden? Or no?
They laid off a bunch of people and... You know, Neil gets really fired up about this, and you and I were sort of talking about this off air the other day. The thing about looking at a business perspective from your growth as year over year, the pandemic year for a lot of companies needs to be looked at as an anomaly.
Yes.
Because for companies like Peloton, there was an insane amount of growth. So obviously, you're not going to take the year 2020 and think that you're going to top that year over year in 2021 and in 2022. Like, you're never going to have that type of growth probably ever again.
Yeah.
So you kind of just need to skip 2020 and look back at what 2019 figures were for you. And so I think that that is Peloton's problem. They looked at 2020 and then they didn't grow what they expected to grow in 2021. And investors were like, more Peloton's not growing anymore. And it's this whole kerfuffle for them. And I think that they're on their way out of the hole. I really do.
That makes sense. You explaining it that way makes sense. Because I remember, well, really any job, if you have a web presence, one of the goals for the web person is to have the website keep increasing with unique views or whatever the new metric is.
Yeah.
And heaven forbid you have something go viral, they are going to expect you to hit those numbers and beyond in the next year. And there's no way you can keep growing.
There's no way. I used to face that all the time in my old job. This is going to sound so morbid, but we would hit really high numbers when somebody would die. And the day that the news came out that Kate Spade had died by suicide, our numbers were through the roof. And my supervisors expected me to follow up the next month and the month after with the same numbers. And I'm trying to tell them it's an anomaly and I'm not going to wish people dead so that our numbers go through the roof. Like I can't make people care about videos of pets and cats that they don't want to care about. And I also am not going to wish people dead or celebrity breakups or celebrity meltdowns or addictions just so we can hit our numbers. Like I'm not going to chase stories that are really just normal people hurting.
Yeah.
Just for our numbers.
Think about websites like TMZ.
Yeah.
Where that's all they do. And the sick excitement they must get when something awful happens.
Yeah.
Because your brain, yeah, no matter what, is looking at it from a numbers perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's like if you're an EMT and you're watching a show like, I don't know, you know, Ye Olde Doctor Show, yeah, and there's EMTs on there. You can't not judge how they portray EMTs and whether or not it's realistic, because,
yeah,
that's now just a part of your brain.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with this. If you work for a website like that, like TMZ, it's just a part of your brain now to convert trauma into numbers.
Yes.
And like, it's what does up. That do to you?
It's fucked up, Bethany. A few days after Kate Spade died, then Anthony Bourdain died, and I was like, yeah, I lucked out. And how
Is that awful to say?
It's, Bethany, I am making myself sick even thinking about that. That is what used to dictate my problems.
Yeah. That's the wild thing about having multiple different careers.
Yeah.
I think more and more people are having different careers every like decade of their life or so.
Yeah.
To see what your brain used to have to focus on and now what your brain focuses on, and was, yeah, it better then or is it better now? And just like, till I look back at all of the different careers I've had and the things that would stress me out. Like, yeah, when I worked at a bank,
mm-hmm,
if the mornings of the 1st, the 15th, and the 25th, I knew were going to be the worst days of my life.
Wait, why?
Those are the days that corporate payments go through.
Oh.
So payroll, that kind of stuff,
uh-huh,
the 1st, the 15th, and the 25th. And so that meant, because I did wire transfers for corporations,
yeah,
that meant that we were going to be getting so many transfers that day that we weren't going to be able to stay on top of it, and I was going to have to work late, and you were going to have to skip lunch, and you're going to have to skip your breaks. It was going to be nonstop. And sometimes on payment days, they wanted to make sure that we could handle it if all of the computers went down. So instead of having the computers logging all of these transactions that we would then mark off,
yeah,
we had to log them on paper,
no,
on triplicate, on forms. And so instead of these awful payment days making you work an hour late, you were at work until 9, and they wouldn't tell us ahead of time. They would spring it on us when we showed up. So now I still wake up every once in a while, and if it's the 15th, I'm like, ah! And then I realize, oh, okay, it's okay. You don't work at a bank anymore.
Yeah, you know. Or when I worked at a magazine the week before the issue was going to go out to publish,
yeah,
everybody was there the whole night. And I worked on the web team, so, you know, the print issues didn't really apply to me, but I used to stay with my friends at a Solidarity.
You're a good friend.
You know, and also sometimes they buy us dinner, so there's
sure,
that,
yeah,
too.
You know, pizza party. Yeah, it's really interesting. It's really interesting, and it makes you kind of grateful if you've moved on from something, and, uh-huh, that's one less thing that you have to be anxious about. I don't know. Kathleen,
yes,
what did you learn this week, speaking of learning from the past?
Yes. So this is actually something I've known for a while, but I want to share it with everybody because a friend of mine was like, huh, that actually works. If you're someplace and you want to go out to get something to eat, or you want a coffee or whatever, wherever, and you're someplace where you're not familiar, just open your damn phone, open up Google, and put in best coffee shop near me.
Ah.
Best lunch near me. Did you know this, that you could do this?
I've done it in my own city because I don't.
Yeah.
Finding places to eat and drink is, I have no idea. And so, yes, I've tried it. I've never tried it in a new city. That's a good,
yeah,
idea.
Yeah. And Google knows where you're located if you have your GPS system turned on. And so it looks in your immediate area to see what's getting the best reviews in your immediate area, so you're not scrambling to find something.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's so helpful.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great. I love that.
What about you, Bethany?
So I have, yes, I've been doing some soul searching, as I mentioned. And another thing, besides thinking about swimming, I realized I always feel like I'm not part of the group. Even in a group that I am, like, I'm friends. Kathleen, I've said to you before, yeah, even it's, this podcast is just you and me.
Yeah.
We are the only two people who run this business.
Yeah.
I still feel like I'm not part of the group of my own podcast. So it's like
here,
just a thing. And I'll keep myself outside of things. When I go to Ariel and everyone's stretching, I sort of pull away and keep myself kind of outside of the group. And,
yeah,
it just, I've always been like that. I realized, Kathleen,
yeah,
it's because when I was growing up, anytime a group picture was taken, I was asked to stand in the back because I was tall.
Oh.
And I was usually the only girl standing in the back because girls get their growth spurt before guys typically. Yeah. And so I was with all the tall guys in the back and all of my friends were in the front. And that happened so consistently throughout growing up and the rest of my life, because I'm still a tall chick.
Yeah.
That I just assume I'm not going to be in the front where everyone is seen. I'm going to be in the back separate. So if you are a tall person and you also find yourself feeling like you're not a member of the group,
yeah,
think back. That might be part of it. I don't know how to fix it, but it sort of was illuminating.
Well, as somebody who considers themselves a tall ally, Bethany, next time there's a photo, I'm going to stand behind a tall person.
Thanks for being an ally. You're a good ally, Kathleen.
Thanks, Bethany.
It also made me think, like, if you're a teacher or someone or a photographer or someone who's always organizing people for photos,
yeah,
have the tall people every once in a while kneel in the front.
Yeah. There's no reason why tall people can't sit crisscross applesauce in the front.
Exactly. I promise you, the tall people have never been in the front of a photo before in their entire lives, and it will mean the world to them to actually be seen in a photo. Everyone in the front is always seen. The person doing the splits in the front, everyone looks at them, and the 17 tall people in the back, no one cares about. And it sort of does something to you as a person.
There's always that one person in the front with, like, doing the splits or, like, putting your arms in a funny way or, like, making a funny face. And the attention always goes to that person. And then there's sweet, demure Bethany standing in the back, statuesque and elegant, like a modern day Grace Kelly.
Not seen by anyone and wearing the black swimsuit.
Oh, God. Fuck your middle school. Honestly.
It was awful.
Bethany, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram, Ms. Bethany Watson, and on Twitter, at Radio Bethany. What about you, Kathleen?
You can find me at Webgirl Kathleen on everything, including Bethany TikTok.
Do you mean to tell me you remembered your password?
Yes. I've been going. Do you know that? Actually, this is also another thing that I learned this week. Do you know that TikTok has a Mac desktop application?
I did not.
Yeah.
What was TikTok made in 2010?
Bethany, I'm telling you, it's the best because I like TikTok, but I don't always want to be looking on my phone. Now I can watch TikTok on my desktop.
Oh, and my God. Soon they're going to be putting it on the radio.
I know.
I'm going to tune into my radio.
So I've been doing this thing where they give you like six guesses to guess your password. And every day I've been going in and trying things. Bethany, my password was like one word and then 1, 2, 3.
Wow. I overthought yourself.
And I guessed it. I guessed it. I finally got in. People must have gotten notifications that I was logging in because people started texting me like, you got your TikTok back?
Oh my gosh. Did you feel like Nicolas Cage stealing the Declaration of Independence when you finally hacked into your own mainframe?
You bet your ass I did.
I'm so proud of you.
You can follow this podcast on Twitter at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram at Acquired Taste Podcast.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan groups.
Yes. You can also send us an email at AcquiredTastePodcast@gmail.com.
We also have a snail mail address, and that's an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
We have a telephone number.
Yeah.
917-994-0353.
And please check out our Patreon. We do two live shows every month. We've got new levels coming up for you very soon. Our live shows this month are February 15th, which is tonight. So that's already passed by the time you listen to this podcast. And also February 28th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Please rate, review, and subscribe on all of the podcast apps you use. 5 stars is the best. I want to give a shout out to our listener, Joe, left us the nicest, most wonderful review recently, and it really brightened our days. We've been having a rough couple weeks, and it was really, really, really wonderful to see that. And thank you, Joe. That was so kind of you. We love you.
This podcast is edited by the fabulous Dennis Callow, and you can follow him on social media at Dennis CAHLO.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hey, Kathleen and Bethany. This is Shira, very, very long time listener and follower from day one. My heart is beating so fast because I'm not one to pick up the phone and call people in general, people that I know. but I started listening to your most recent episode. And as an Orthodox Jew, I just had to stop for a moment because I started to cry. I am so incredibly grateful to the fact that you brought awareness to the blatant anti-Semitism in this country and other countries. My grandparents were Holocaust survivors, and I just had firsthand stories of the horrors they went through, and growing up just felt so grateful to, you know, live as a proud Jew, and for the first time in almost 32 years, been really afraid to live outwardly as a Jew. As I lit my Hanukkah menorah this year with my children, you know, we have this obligation to leave the shades open so we can proudly show the fact that, you know, we are celebrating this holiday. And it really, I had to sit with it for a bit and think, do I show people that we are a Jewish home? And again, just so incredibly grateful because you are the first platform, whether it's the news or podcasts, anywhere, that you are calling out anti-Semitism, because I have not yet heard that, only in Jewish forms, but never has anybody called it out like they called out any sort of racism. So I'm just sitting here, like, getting ready for Shabbat. You know, it's Friday afternoon, and I'm sitting here crying as I'm just trying to put some makeup on, because thank you for being the first one to stand up and call it out for what it is. So, again, thanks. Have a great weekend.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Facebook Cassidy from Vermont. I was just calling because I have had a little bit of, like, a weird day, and I'm driving home by myself from, like, the whole Desolate Highway, and I saw that you guys posted a bonus episode, and I just thought to myself when I saw it, I was like, this is perfect, a half an hour of just enjoyment, just nothing, like, to think about, and you guys are just so great, and it's really nice to have that little bit of a mental escape with your podcast. Nothing negative, and it's like hanging out with a couple of friends, so I just wanted to say a quick thank you for being you, and have a great night, guys. Bye.
Hi, Bethany. Hi, Kathleen. I just listened to your latest episode where you were talking about people leaving packages downstairs and you're just wondering why they aren't coming to pick up. And I wanted to share something cool that I learned last year. You can actually sign up through USPS for informed delivery. And they send you a email every single morning, and it has pictures of each letter that's coming in, and it lets you know when packages are arriving. And I love using that feature, and I just wanted to share it with you guys. Bye.
Hello, ladies. Listener Mabel from Seattle over here. Just calling for two things. One special update. I finally caught up, and I'm glad to say that I'm listening to yesterday's episode, and it's, like, real time. So that means that the way that my friend from Texas, Mayo, and I had, I want it. Cheers for me. Listening to the recent episode about banned books, and Tango Makes Three is probably one of my favorite books of all time when I read to my preschool class. Imagine having little three-year-olds look at you weird because you're crying because of the representation of such diverse groups of families and how cute the book is. Anyway, I'm extremely happy that I'm caught up. Hope you all have a lovely day. Bye-bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?